We're at the Provincetown International Film Festival at the press conference.
Hi, my name is Jeff Coffin. I'm the director-producer of The State of Marriage.
I'm Marcia Ross, and I'm the producer of The State of Marriage.
So tell us about your film.
Well, it's the story, basically, of the three women who pioneered the marriage equality movement. We give tribute to other people like Evan Wolfson, who was an advisor and a colleague in the struggle, but it really focuses on Mary Bonato and her amazing work and the way she partnered with Beth Robinson and Susan Murray in Vermont, starting in the early 1990s. The strategy they had for social engagement, for working in the courts and in the political arena, really set the standard for the whole country, and they had three or four breakthroughs in Vermont that also led the way for the whole country. It's an amazing personal story, but it's also this incredible grassroots story.
How did you get involved with this film?
Well, Jeff actually lived in Vermont for 11 years, and for six of those years he had a daily radio talk show. And this was going on while he was living there, and so he knew a lot of the people that were involved in the story. And we met in Los Angeles, and I actually had gone back to school to finish my college degree, and for one of my courses I was reading Evan Wolfson's book, Why Marriage Matters. And although I was already committed to it as a major human rights issue, when Jeff shared this story with me, I thought, these women are so amazing and inspiring, we need to go meet them and talk to them and start telling their story.
You know, I've done a lot of other documentaries for Amnesty International, a film on Ella Fitzgerald, things like that, and Marcia's a Hollywood casting director, so she's worked in the narrative sphere, but this story just stayed with me, and because I had lived a part of it and seen what it was like, you know, on the ground level, it just kept haunting me, and finally it seemed like the right time to, hey, let's do it.
Well, tell us a little bit about your relationship that came out of this incredible film.
Well, when we met, we were both divorced, and when we started making the film and making the film together, I would say we really fell in love with each other. Meeting these couples who had been together for so many years was so inspiring, and they really taught us a lot about what we wanted in a relationship with each other. They're tremendous role models for what any relationship should, could, really and be, and what we wanted with each other.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we're also doing this film about Haiti and this amazing priest who's dedicated his life to helping women for decades. And one of the things he did is he founded a school. And when you see kids in Haiti, you know, walking 10 miles up the mountains to go to school, it gives you a whole different perspective of what an education means. And you wish that American kids could see that, you know? So for us to connect with people who fought so hard to have their relationship recognized by society and have the rights and responsibilities to go along with that on so many levels and got pushed back and kept struggling, there's no better example of what love and partnership means. And it was beyond our motive to do the film. It was a really moving personal experience.
All the couples were really together for a really long time before they were able to marry, which is very impressive.
Yeah, I'll just say one more thing, that one of the people we interviewed was Terrence McNally, who's the four-time Tony-winning playwright, and an amazing guy, and his amazing husband, Tom Curtihy. And they had their civil union in Vermont. They called it their marriage, but it was a civil union. And when we asked Tom and Terrence, you know, what is marriage? We asked every couple, gay, straight, in between, what is marriage? And what Tom said was the single most beautiful thing I've ever heard about a relationship in my life. And I thought, yeah, I want to have that. So I hope some of that crosses over.
Now that marriage equality is in the hands of the Supreme Court, what would you like to see happen for LGBT equality?
Well, first of all, we have to state that one of our core people in the film, Mary Bonato, was the person who made the oral argument before the Supreme Court. And obviously we hope that it wins and that it not only changes the law for marriage, but also leads the way for changing other laws as well, because there's other battles to follow. Workplace protections, housing protections, medical protections, that's so key. And I think, again, whatever happens, and we hope that it's success, I think people have to be aware of the backlash to follow. It's important not to be complacent, but to realize that the battle will continue and there's a lot more to do.
There's still a tremendous amount of discrimination. Having people being able to marry is just the beginning. In fact, if people find out you're married but they fire you from your job, then you've got to find the right balance of the things, because we all have to have the same rights, every American.
My name is Lori Kahn, and I'm the director and producer of Love Between the Covers.
Tell us about your film.
It's a film, it's a documentary, and it's about the global community of women who write, read, and love romance novels. And it's a fandom unlike any other, and it's humongous.
What was your inspiration for making this film?
I'm interested in women's lives. I think there just are not nearly enough stories about women's lives being told. And my first film was about a midwife and healer who left behind a 27-year diary right after the American Revolution, an incredible window onto early American history through a woman's eyes. And then I did a film about the early years of Tupperware, which is a great and wonderful story that no one knew until I did my documentary. And so this is another community, huge community of women who get mocked all the time, but they are keeping the publishing industry afloat. 75 million Americans read at least one romance novel a year, and the ones who love them are voracious readers. They will read one a week or one a day.
What do you think about the old lesbian pulp fiction novels? Did you read that when you were a kid?
I didn't read them myself when I was a kid, but I've read them since I started this project. And one of the main characters in my film, I follow five authors for 3 years. One of them is Radcliffe, the author Radcliffe, who is a surgeon named Len Barrow, who now has started Bold Strokes Books, but she has been writing three lesbian romance novels a year since the 1980s.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT equality?
I think that there's a reason why I chose a lesbian romance author as one of my main characters, and also an African-American romance author. And I think that for their readership, it was transformative to see a story in which women had agency, women were strong, and they ended up in committed relationships that would last. And you know, Len Barrow tells me, Radcliffe tells me, that when she read her first lesbian romance, the first of the Naiad Press books, it was like she'd gone to heaven. She said, you know, all the books before that, women, lesbians, the books ended up in suicide or insanity. And what kind of message is that for somebody who's just discovering their own identity?
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Stay grounded. I think that I tend to get sort of up, you know, in a whirlwind when lots of things are happening, and I think remembering that I need to stay grounded is usually helpful, and going to yoga.
My name is Matthew Breen. I'm the editor-in-chief of The Advocate, and it's my second time at the Provincetown International Film Festival. The first time was last year, and I was invited and loved it and would not pass up the chance to come again, so love it here.
What have you been doing while you're here? Have you seen any films? I know that you were moderating one of the panels. Tell us about that.
I saw a few of the films prior to the festival so that I could do this panel discussion. The State of Marriage, which is a documentary about the marriage equality struggle in Vermont. Do I Sound Gay, which is a documentary about one man coming to terms with how he presents himself in the world as a gay man. And then the third was Larry Kramer in Love and Anger, which is a great documentary about the life of Larry Kramer. And we did a panel discussion. It was the Breakfast With series. And I got to sit down with the director of all three and the producer as well of The State of Marriage. And we had this fun, really wide-ranging, lots of topics going on, conversation about LGBT rights and queer life and being in the world in the 21st century, and I thought it was fun. I had a good time with it.
With marriage equality now in the hands of the U.S. Supreme Court, what would you like to see for LGBT equality in the next few years?
It would be really wonderful to see sexual orientation and gender identity become a protected class. And that's, I think, really key to winning a lot of the battles beyond marriage equality. I'm really hopeful about marriage equality, but we still face enormous discrimination in housing and employment, in military service. It's not a done deal either. There are lots of ways that we are still legally discriminated against. And of course, there's enormous social inequities as well. And I think one of the things that would really remedy a lot of that is to see those categories as protected classes, like race and sex are.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I don't know that I would attribute to somebody, but I always think to myself, what have you got to lose? If you're presented with an opportunity and it seems a little scary, you know, what have you got to lose is what I try to ask myself. And usually the answer is nothing, so go for it.
We're at the the Provincetown International Film Festival, and we're having our yearly annual conversation with filmmaker John Waters. John, so tell us some of the projects you're working on.
Well, mostly I just came off the paperback tour for Carsick, my hitchhiking book, which just came out in paperback, and then I was the commencement speaker at RISD, where they gave me an honorary doctorate, so my fees went up, and I'm looking for tenure, and I'm prescribing Oxycontin to anyone who asks. And then I'm going to London for an art show that opens next week. Then I'm hosting a punk rock film festival in Oakland on July 4th weekend. And I'm writing something, and, you know, I'm booked. It's good. All's good.
Well, I know that you were recently honored by the Lambda Literary Society. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, that was good. A queer of the year. And Liz Smith came out, and she, at 93 years old, I think she is, and I love Liz Smith. I'd never met her, really. And she came out and introduced me, which was fun. And that was great. It was nice to be there. I always say I'm against separatism, but this was a gay ghetto I wanted to move into, but I couldn't get an apartment. So it was great to be there.
What are you looking forward to doing this year? What are the projects that you really can't wait to wrap your head around?
All my projects are work, and they're fun. What I look forward to is my private life when I'm off, and then I stay home in Baltimore.
What films have you seen at the film festival this year?
Well, I really like the movie Grandma with Lily Tomlin. Her performance is absolutely amazing, and as is everybody in the movie. I like the Francois Ozon movie. I like the movie about Larry Kramer. Really, some of my friends are alive because of only Larry Kramer. He's really the reason they're alive, his fight. So I cried in that movie. It was very moving, I thought. I saw the movie about Peggy Guggenheim, and I'm going to go see more.
And what film are you hosting this year?
Killer Joe, which is one of the most radical NC-17 movies. You think it's made by a young kid, but it's made by William Friedkin. It's his last movie he made in the 80s. It's like the best Russ Meyer movie ever made, directed by somebody else.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us.
Sure, thanks. Good seeing you again this year.
And have a fabulous time in London.
I will. It's my favorite city.